KSI in the World. I'm John Batzer with Jonathan D.T. Ward. His new book, The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. A decade ago, Jonathan, many American corporations saw China as a great profit bonanza to transform their national and transatlantic business into a global business. Few of those corporations remain now. However, we're dealing with a much larger concept than whether Caterpillar is going to do well in China. There's the first great divergence, I read from your reporting. That was the Industrial Revolution a couple centuries ago. Now, the second great divergence. What is that?
So the second great divergence is something that I've introduced in this book as an idea for what would it really look like for us to win this contest from a historical perspective. I mean, if we were to go farther out into the century and think, look, we actually headed off this challenge, we stopped the challenge from Beijing, and we preserved the American-led order and the world as defined and managed by the world's democracies, as opposed to the dictatorships that contest us now. And I thought back to the great divergence in history where essentially the industrialized world took off economically and the non-industrialized world did not. And, while that has many issues to it, I think today there is the possibility of creating a new great divergence, not between the Western world and the many other countries of the world, but between the democracies and the dictatorships. If we're able to seize this moment that's on the horizon with the fourth industrial revolution, which is coming in the 2020s and 2030s and beyond, if we're able to seize other economic inflection points that are going to take place in the 21st century, and at the same time deny those to our adversaries in Moscow and Beijing, we can create I think a new great delta between our own economic power and military power and those of our adversaries. Now, we have to remember that the Chinese Communist Party sees their ascendancy as a turning point in history, a return of China to preeminence in world affairs, as essentially the surpassing of the U.S., as the vanquishing of the American-led world, and as the creation of a new world order with China at the center. That vision need not happen, but that vision is based upon economic power, and they have very clear economic strategies that they're executing on, even as we debate whether or not we're in a contest with China or what kind of contest we're in or how to deal with it. They're in the midst of executing on strategies that are designed to complete this ascendancy, return them as they see to preeminence and project ultimately military power that can defend this position. But we have this opportunity in the decade ahead to, I think, set the foundations to win the far longer and greater contest with China. And that is to ensure that the U.S. remains the bulk of the world's economy and the true cornerstone, and that the democracies in our alliance system and beyond retain the prime position in terms of economic power.
February 24th, 2022. Again, this is a different conversation than February 23rd. Sanctions, the sanctions regime by the U.S., by the EU, against Russia has changed the business plan of the world island. Has China anticipated this, and has it reacted accordingly?
Well, look, China understands that our sanctions capacity is very powerful. And I think that's been one of their most significant lessons from the Ukraine war. And one other aspect to that is not just the fact that we have the ability to do that in America from a policy perspective. And in fact, we have this very deep arsenal of economic, warfare capabilities, many of which were designed in the Cold War and even earlier. So we're learning how to do that now. And that's something I think Ukraine taught us, was that we have the ability to use state killer sanctions on another multi-trillion-dollar economy. And Russia is a $1.5 trillion economy. And I'm always told if you add the black market, it's even larger. So, China's far larger than Russia. But at the same time, this is the first time we've had to levy sanctions on a serious, major power, as opposed to North Korea or Iran. So they've learned from that. They've seen that their own sort of economic defense strategies. I mean, dual circulation, indigenization of key industries and supply chains, all of these sorts of things are designed in their minds to sanction proof it. But we also were able to coordinate very clearly and effectively with our allies in Europe on sanctions towards Russia. So China's strategy, as it's always been, has been to do what they can to divide our alliance system. And you can see that with Macron's trip to to Beijing recently, where he, Beijing would love to have divisions in sort of transatlantic, concepts of how to handle China from an economic or military perspective. So we have to be able to act as a unified alliance system from America to Europe, to the Pacific, in order to wield the bulk of the world economy, which is still in allied hands, against our adversaries, not only in Moscow, but also in Beijing.
For a moment, Jonathan, I want it to be February 23rd. You note the U.S. corporation, private corporation, publicly traded, transparent, versus the Chinese Communist Party's state-owned enterprises. For a moment, on February 23rd, how do they match up? For a moment. The war changed it, but what is it?
Well, I think this is going to be a very, very important piece of the 2020s. I mean, the battle space is going to be economic, and that means that its fundamental operators are going to be the companies. I mean, we're going to have, I think, a corporate battle space where, you know, China has already brought its own corporations into its national strategies. I mean, many of them are state-owned, and if they're not state-owned, they certainly must respond
to the party members sitting on the boards. Yes,
that's exactly. Mandated. I mean, the state can tell them what they can and cannot do pretty readily. So they've built that system where they can utilize companies and therefore utilize their economic power, not only in the China market and for strategic industries and advanced technologies, but around the world to carry out their economic strategies worldwide.
In 30 seconds, does the American privately held transparent corporation match up against the state-owned enterprise?
Well, that's our problem. We don't have a corporate battle fleet. They do. I mean, our companies do not yet realize the nature of this challenge, and we have not yet figured out how to align our companies to the U.S. and allied national interest. And I think that's what we need to do. Our companies were essential to victory in the Second World War, and they were essential in many ways to victory in the Cold War. So we need to get them on our side.
Jonathan Ward, The Decisive Decade, Moving to Diplomacy. I'm John Mack.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.